Ani, kolamose, watie, sigoli. Yes, you're listening to Smoke Signals. And that was Donna Bush, Farron John from the group Donna Bush, If You're My Lady. Now, some members of the group Donna Bush are going to be appearing at The Other Side, which is a club down at the corner of York and Talbot, I believe in about 2 weeks or a week. Or this weekend. Next weekend. Next weekend, I'm sorry. Next weekend, there's going to be 3 or 4 days of native blues. So it's going to be a good 3 or 4 days down there. We'll be down there because Farron John, we met him when he performed with Donna Bush at the Western Fair Grandstand Show, which CHRW was the media sponsor for. Aboriginal Talent Night, Aboriginal Music Night, and they had traditional as well as contemporary musicians performing a whole 2.5 hour program without a break. It was fantastic. But anyways, we met Farron John down there. Okay, Mary Lou is going to read to you a really exciting event that took place this week in Toronto. We had been hearing at the Aboriginal Rights Coalition about Daishawa taking the Friends of the Lubicon to court, actually appealing an Ontario Court of Justice decision that said that the Friends of the Lubicon have the right to boycott products by Daishawa. And so Daishawa was prepared to appeal that decision, and this is what happened.
After 5 years of litigation, forestry multinational Daishawa has finally abandoned attempts to stop a consumer boycott aimed at protecting Lubicon Cree lands in northern Alberta. In last-minute settlement talks, the company agreed to drop its appeal of the landmark 1998 Ontario Court decision that ruled a consumer boycott conducted by the Toronto support group Friends of the Lubicon was a legal and charter-protected form of protest. The settlement agreement confirms Daishawa's intention to refrain from cutting trees on Lubicon Lake Indian Nation traditional territory. It also ends 5 years of often bitter courtroom disputes, which culminated in 1998 in a 28-day trial and a judgment confirming that the right to conduct a peaceful consumer boycott is one protected by the Canadian Charter of Rights and Freedoms. The Friends of the Lubicon, a small Toronto-based group of Lubicon Cree supporters, heralded the news that their days in the courtroom have come to an end. It's been a long haul, but worth every bit of the effort and to ensure that Lubicon people will still have a chance to protect their lands and culture, said Stephen Kenda. Everyone who works for social change needs to be aware of this case, said Karen Wistern, who is a counsel for the Friends. It has implications for every activist, advocate, and educator, for anyone to whom the right of free speech is important. The Friends of the Lubicon were defended at trial by lawyers employed by the Sierra Legal Defense Fund, a non-profit dedicated to environmental law. The result today confirms the earlier court decision and ensures protection of Lubicon lands, a rare win-win ending to a long and arduous courtroom drama. Friends of the Lubicon are a volunteer non-profit group working to assist the Lubicon Lake Indian Nation in the land rights struggle. The Friends conducted a consumer boycott of Daishawa paper products starting in 1991 and ending in 1998. As a result, during that period, Daishawa did not log on Lubicon traditional territory. In 1998, Daishawa committed not to log on until the Lubicon land rights were settled. The 500-member Lubicon Lake Indian Nation has never signed a treaty with the Government of Canada. Lubicon Nation is currently negotiating with the government in order to establish a reserve, to reestablish a self-sufficient economy, and to obtain compensation for the destruction of their traditional way of life.
Okay, and thank you very much, Mary Lou. And in the same vein, we have another press release that comes to us via the Edmonton Journal, and this is dated Friday, May 5th. Lubicon supporters agree to end boycott. Daishawa drops appeal of court ruling allowing sanctions against company. The activist group Friends of the Lubicon have agreed to formally end a 7-year boycott of Daishawa Incorporated after the paper bag manufacturer dropped a court appeal on boycott issues. Daishawa had appealed a 1998 decision following the activists to boycott the company's customers as part of its efforts to force a resolution to the long-standing land claims of the Lubicon Lake Indian Band in northern Alberta. Friends of the Lubicon had informally dropped the boycott in early 1998 after Daishawa Marubeni, a company partly owned by Daishawa's Japanese parent company, agreed not to log in a 10,000 square kilometer area claimed by the Lubicon. The boycott had cost Daishawa Incorporated about $20 million in lost sales. That happened despite the fact that Daishawa Marubeni, which operates a pulp mill near Peace River, has never logged in the disputed territory, said Peter Jervis, a lawyer acting for Daishawa Incorporated. Quote, Daishawa's position is that we respect the Lubicon's position, Jervis said. There will be no logging in that area until this is resolved by governments. End of quote. Lubicon advisor Fred Lennerson said that the latest agreement is a relief to the band, which regarded possible logging in the land claim area as a threat. Quote, when Daishawa says they will back off, then the Lubicon don't have to deal with this. That's the immediate benefit, the Edmonton advisor said. Companies such as Daishawa can also put more pressure on governments to settle the land claim, he added. The boycott campaign began in 1991 after the Alberta government granted the company a logging permit in the land claim area, which has been subject to Lubicon claims for almost 70 years. Both Daishawa Incorporated and Friends of the Lubicon reached a settlement this week that stated both sides would abandon the appeal and not seek legal costs. About 500 members of the Lubicon band claim approximately 243 square kilometers was promised to them to build a reserve. Quote, the power of consumer boycotting is an effective democratic tool, said Clayton Ruby, who represents Friends of the Lubicon. People increasingly feel powerless when confronted by huge international corporations and faceless governments, he said. Kevin Thomas, spokesman for Friends of the Lubicon, said he hoped the agreement would be an example to the federal government, which is in the midst of resolving the land claim issue. Quote, we hope the federal government can negotiate a fair resolution in the same way we were able to come to terms with Daishawa, unquote, said Thomas. But Lennerson, who takes part in the negotiations, said it's difficult to tell what progress has been made recently. While some government officials want to resolve the land claim, quote, there are other people, both provincially and federally, who are committed to wiping the Lubicon off the face of the earth, Lennerson said. End of quote.
Okay, next we're going to listen to a CD titled Raw Blues, and it's by this fellow named Jimmy Wolf, who is a Mohawk from Akwesasne, and it's a really fabulous CD, which is new to us, and we're going to play that for you right now.